And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today. I'll tell you, there's a lot going on in our country right now, isn't there? You know, you always think, well, things, they can't get any worse than they are right now. And then something happens and you realize, well, actually, they can get a little worse. Now, of course, that's at the cosmic level. I'm sure that you are taking care of your responsibilities and your family and your affairs. And that's what I'm doing. In fact, I was at the dentist this morning in the midst of all this. I was at the dentist. A little tooth problem. Last night, I had to go to for an emergency visit with my dentist this morning. So, you know, life goes on for most Americans. We don't allow anything that's happening to stop us from living our daily lives and going about our business. That doesn't mean we're not concerned about what's happening in the country. And that doesn't mean that we're not praying about it and we're not seeking ways to engage and participate. But what it does mean is that we are not falling into despair, going and crawling off into a corner, getting in the fetal position and just screaming, woe is me. We just don't do that. And by the way, let me also add this. With AFR on the scene, praise God, you can rest assured that you're going to get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, or you're going to get reasoned opinion about some things, and that some of you may agree with or disagree with, but we are always going to endeavor to bring you the facts and the truth, always, always, always. And unfortunately, there's a large segment of our culture today that is determined that they will decide what you can hear and what you cannot hear. They will decide what opinions may be heard and what opinions may not be heard. I'm sure you all heard, and I just think that this is absolutely unconscionable. But of course, nothing will be done by this new administration coming in, and something needs to be done. Facebook has actually suspended the President of the United States' Facebook account indefinitely. Twitter's considering doing the same thing. And now we just heard that Josh Hawley's book on big tech has been canceled. His contract, that is his publishing contract on a book about big tech has been canceled. Canceled because of what the publisher, I don't know who the publisher is, but just caught that news just a couple minutes ago, but what the publisher alleges to be his involvement in what happened at the Capitol on Wednesday. And therefore, they are canceling his book. Now, I saw some guys supposed to represent the conservative viewpoint come on Fox and say, well, you know, this it's a private company. This is not a First Amendment issue. It's a private company. They can do with their company whatever they want to do, and they can do business with whomever they want to do business, and they're not required to give a platform to anybody they don't want to give a platform to. And some of that, theoretically, is correct. However, there are a couple of points where he's completely and totally missed it. One, and the really big one is this. When you have a situation, folks, in which most of the means, the media means, by which our voices are heard, are all in one lockstep leftist Marxist mindset, And they've decided that they don't have respect for the First Amendment. The First Amendment is not only a legal principle, it's a cultural principle in our country. It's not just a legal principle, it's a cultural principle. And the byword used to be, I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend with my life your right to say it. And our people go off to fight and die sometimes defending the rights of people that with whom they disagree. And that's part of not only of our legal mechanisms and institutions, it's part of our culture. Well, that's being rejected. And here's the problem. If you get a quorum, you get a critical mass of major media outlets all saying the same thing, which is what? We are going to censor the people who we think should not be heard. We're going to censor these right-wing conservatives. We're going to censor the people whose opinions we disdain and disrespect. We're going to censor the people with whom we disagree. You no longer have freedom of speech in America. For all practical purposes, you no longer have freedom of speech in America. You have a situation in which the public can hear only one side. Only one side. And see, this is the left, because they don't believe in fundamental principles. They really don't. They've got their own set that they're trying to impose on the country. They don't believe in the fundamental principles upon which the country was built. They really think that they're in this elite, superior position of determining what the American people should and should not hear or read. They just know better than you do. I mean, Josh Hawley, now there may be another publisher out there, but here's my point. What if they all fall in lockstep with the left and say, yeah, Josh Hawley's a bad person and we don't want to publish his book? Okay, now he's got to go out and self-publish it. Well, you can do that. Self-publishing is, I've done it a couple of times, and you're not going to get the same kind of audience. You're not going to get the same kind of distribution, because basically what you're trying to do is start your own publishing company and do it all on your own. So really, for all practical purposes, what they do is they shut down people. Now, yeah, maybe in time you will have conservative publishers that will arise that will have the same reach and have the same level of credibility and cachet and people sort of go and expect, you know, good books from these various organizations, Simon and Schuster and so forth. But how long is that going to take? And how much speech will be censored until that happens? When you have Facebook deciding that the president of the United States may not communicate with his constituents, and that the president of the United States, Twitter, deciding he may not communicate with his constituents, folks, we got a problem. Because as I've said before, and I never considered this, but I see this happening in America. And when I would study, you know, I read the first book on totalitarianism, believe it or not, when I was in ninth grade. I really did. I had a counselor at a summer program at Swarthmore College, and he asked me to read the book, Totalitarianism. And I read it and wrote a paper on it. So I've been thinking about this really, frankly, since I was a kid. I'm serious. Now, I know, I was a strange ninth grader. What can I tell you? Right. I didn't go out and find the book. I was asked to read the book, but it got me thinking. Totalitarianism is always thought of as a government thing. But, you know, I'm realizing now you can have all the cultural institutions of a country line up together and create a totalitarian culture in which certain thoughts are not allowed. Well, you may have them, but you won't be able to get a job. You may have them. We will not allow your business to grow or thrive. In fact, we'll probably shut you down. So if there's certain thoughts are not allowed. And certain speech is not allowed. Well, you can speak, but you better do it in your church. You better do it in your home. You better not put it out in the public square, or you will pay a price. We will destroy your reputation. We will destroy your livelihood. You know, this stuff reminds me. When I was in Boston, I was trying to address the violence that was going on in the streets of the city and so many young people dying. And I wanted to rent some space to hold a community meeting. And I think it was, don't hold me to what organization what it was. I don't know whether it was Boys and Girls Club, I think it was. And I told them I wanted to do it. And they said, no, we're not letting you use our facility. I said, well, why? What's the problem? Well, you're pro-life, and we don't want pro-life people using it. I'm serious. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Joe Biden has made it clear how important he thinks climate change is to this country. He talks about a climate crisis and wants to put John Kerry in a position defined as the climate czar. His nominees for the Department of Interior and the EPA also show his belief that climate change is what he calls an existential threat of our time. His fellow Democrats agree with him. An NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll a few months ago asked voters, which one of the following issues is most important to you? For Democrats, climate change ranked first, with coronavirus second. By contrast, Republicans ranked the economy first, and climate change did not even register with those polled. The examples used to argue that we are facing a climate crisis don't stand up to empirical evidence, as Rich Lowry documents in a recent column. Flooding in the Midwest is supposedly an artifact of climate change, but Beyond Lomberg cites a UN study that questions whether flooding is getting more or less frequent. Biden also blamed drought in the Midwest, while the federal government's National Climate Assessment concluded that droughts had decreased over much of the continental United States. Biden argues that California wildfires have been caused by warming temperatures, which is probably a contributing factor, but Lomberg also noted that land burning around the globe has fallen sharply since the 19th century. Biden cited Hurricane Laura, the storm that hit Louisiana, is another example of climate-driven extreme weather. And there does seem to be more storm activity in the Atlantic, but Lomberg writes that this is not necessarily due to climate change. So many of the examples cited cannot be tied to climate change, much less to the climate crisis Joe Biden wants all of us to fear. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you just heard by visiting pointofview.net. That's pointofview.net.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Brian Fisher here. Progressives rampage to obliterate the memory of Donald Trump from the face of the earth. The Benedict Arnold wing of the GOP joins them. Who's to blame for the lack of preparedness on the part of the Capitol Police? Progressives start their version of ethnic cleansing. This time they're after us. And it's Free for All Friday on the phones. That and more next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
It's First Amendment Friday here on The Awakening, and I want to get your calls in as soon as possible because I really want to know what you all think about all this stuff. And by the way, on the whole censorship issue, you get a bunch of major media outlets all determining that they're not going to give voice to any opinions of conservatives or any spokespersons for that point of view. And then you can only hear from one side. And then you couple that with the fact that they then side with government. Because what we're going to have right now is the media is going to be the mouthpiece for Joe Biden. That's it. They're simply going to be the mouthpiece for his administration. That's what's going to happen. In the same way that they were shills for the Democrats throughout the Trump administration, they're now going to be cheerleaders for the Biden administration. And so these companies with all of this influence and all of this power are really, in a sense, they're arms of the government. I know technically they're not, but they've made themselves that. And I think we've got to reconsider our First Amendment analysis when we're looking at whether it's government doing the censoring. I think when you get that kind of cooperation and that kind of, let's put it this way, that kind of conspiracy, I use that word advisedly, but between government and the mainstream media, you've got a situation that's got to be looked at in jurisprudentially. It must be looked at in a different light, okay? is not the same as some conglomerate, some small organization or large organization that is completely alone making a decision about what kind of ideas it wants to advance. It's perfectly free to do that. But remember, big tech has told us repeatedly that they are not publishers, but they're a platform. That they are not, in other words, they are not using their platforms for their speech. They're simply providing a platform for the speech of others. Well, that's simply not true. They're providing a platform for certain speech and certain people who espouse views with which they agree. So that means they are using the platform. And since it is so broad and so pervasive and so influential, and of course, and because particularly with Google and with the internet, because it requires so much government cooperation and involvement, I really think that they're operating under color of law anyway, and that it's appropriate to apply a First Amendment analysis to whether they are in fact violating the First Amendment rights of American citizens, including the President of the United States. Wow. Well, look, the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Look, we're coming up to the weekend, and I hope that you all will remember to go to church and have a great time at church. I hope your church is open. For those of you here in the Virginia area, I will be at church on Sunday morning, 11 a.m. at 943 Canal Drive. Come on by. I'll be preaching of the third and final in a brief series called Growing Toward Perfection. And I'm really excited about the things that God is going to use me to share on Sunday. So if you're around our area, or for that matter, no matter where you are, fly on in. It's a small price to pay. Okay, 888-589-8840 is the number. Now look, there's a lot. It's bubbling to the surface that this group of pro-Trump protesters were in fact infiltrated by Antifa and who knows who else. The thing that did give me pause is that Trump supporters have always been so peaceful and always been so orderly. And this just seemed completely out of character. I didn't know whether this is what the level of frustration just boiled over. But fighting cops and threatening cops and being in the face of police officers and basically challenging them, that's just not what Trump supporters have done. That's not what we as conservatives do. So it did seem a little out of character. So it may be, as the evidence comes in, we may find out that some of these people were just infiltrators and they're creatures of the left. And of course, Joe Biden, and by the way, folks, and I'm going to come to your calls in this segment, but let me just say this. Don't call me a prophet, but you know, several days ago, I mean, two days ago now, when this happened, I got to thinking about it and said, you know, I'm surprised that nobody has racialized this. And I thought, well, you know, maybe this is one of those rare instances where people will understand this has nothing to do with race. Oops. Joe Biden comes out and says there were a group of Black Lives Matter protesters at the Lincoln Memorial and the police there to deal with them. And if they had been at the Capitol, they would have been treated very differently. I don't know what different treatment he would want. I mean, the police confronted these lawless folks and handled them. And of course, we know one woman was shot to death by a Capitol Police officer. So I don't know what more he would have wanted. But, you know, he just couldn't bring himself to just deal with this as a matter of law and order and the preservation of our important institutions. No. It had to be racial. The left is obsessed with race. They need to get over it, but they can't. Well, of course, and it's politically expedient for them too, because, you know, they could use that to manipulate voters and to get people to vote, because after all, you're in grave danger. No matter what happens, you're going to be treated differently. Yeah. Look, These people have been threatening to tear down monuments. I don't want the Lincoln Memorial torn down. Do you? Well, then you got to have police out there to make sure that that doesn't happen. Because apparently Lincoln is now on their hit list. 888-589-8840. Let's get right to your calls. See if we can get some in this very first segment. Rare, but we really do need to talk about this. So let's go to Jason in Texas. Oh, my goodness gracious. What? Okay. Jason, you're on.
Dr. Jackson, how you doing, brother?
Okay, Jason. You can't drop that joke, can you? I'm doing fine. How about you?
Well, I haven't talked to you in a while, so I didn't get a chance to use it. But God bless you, brother. God bless everything you're doing. I just want to let you know, I was at the Capitol in Austin Wednesday. We did a Trump train out there, and we're such a diverse group. We have, every time we do a Trump train, we have the Vietnamese, they pray. We have the whites, they pray. The blacks, they pray. Latinos, they pray.
Wow.
And then we all do our train, and we, you know, we say the Pledge of Allegiance. But we just love our country. We love the freedom Amen. That comes with this country. And we're all standing up for it. We love our president. And it was just such a peaceful rally up in Austin. And
well, Jason, yeah, Jason, by the way, look, I'm glad to hear that. And when you said in Austin, brother, can any good thing come out of Austin? But apparently it can. So I'm glad that you all were there, and I'm glad to hear that you had a crowd that represented the entire country, because that's what, in my view, President Trump really represented, not what they're trying to characterize him as representing. Go ahead, Jason, finish your thought.
It's okay. All I can do is put another sticker on my truck and, you know, load my guns and pray. But God bless you, brother. I love you, and
thank
God
you,
bless
Jason.
Your ministry.
Love you too, brother. Thank you for the call. And look, everybody, pray for President Trump. I have no doubt. Look, this man has served as president of the United States for 4 years, but I am sure he is hurting right now because people who are supposedly with him have now separated themselves from him. He's got people resigning. Betsy DeVos, really disappointed to see that. Not that her position is that critical, because she was Secretary of Education. It's not critical at all. But still, this man's one of the most difficult moments he will ever have faced in his life. And people are just discarding him now. And that's why I said I am not going to kick this president when he's down. I think he's done a magnificent job for this country. I'm sad that his presidency ends on the note it ends, with so many Republicans denouncing him and stepping away from him. It's a sad thing to witness. But I think history will judge this president well when people can step back and just look at his actions. Have I liked every bit of his rhetoric? No, I haven't. But here again, if you judge him on his actions rather than some of the things that he says or tweets, you can't not admire him and the things he's accomplished for our country. So I'm saddened to see it end this way. But I have a feeling that Donald Trump, being who he is not going to go peacefully into that good night that he is going to be heard from again. So we just need to be praying for him. Now, his presidency is over. That's clear. It is over. Joe Biden's going to be the next president, and we just have to deal with that and pray and be prepared to be the loyal opposition, loyal to our country, and opposing what I know are going to be some horrendous policies coming out of this administration. But you know what? We are ready for the battle. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Life can be awful frustrating at times. There are frustrations at home, such as never enough time, hard to fix a meal which each member of the family likes. Any of you housewives ever do that? You know, you fix a meal and Three out of four like it, but that fourth one doesn't. Another frustrating thing is that parents don't understand teenagers, and teenagers are inconsiderate to parents. Two, there are financial frustrations. Too often, it seems like there's too much month left at the end of the money. And job frustrations. The employees are lazy, the boss is too demanding, or the job is too confining. Life is full of frustrations. It doesn't take much to get you to agree to that. But if we are to remain sane in this world, we must learn how to handle frustrations. We must be able to face frustrations without becoming frustrated. Let us say that we cannot handle frustrations by becoming like those people in situations which cause frustrations. If we do, we will add to the problem rather than help in the solution. It helps tremendously if we can learn to accept frustration as a normal part of living. Once we do this, then we are in a position to learn from our frustrations, get something from them, and make them pay us their dividends. Sometimes there are simple solutions to our frustrations. If we're short on time, perhaps we're trying to do too much. If there isn't enough money for all our wants, perhaps we need to trim our wants a little and get them in line with our money. If we are habitually late, maybe we need to begin a little earlier. God has some simple answers for us if we will but pay attention to them. When frustrations come, cool down and think things over. A period where you can just be alone for a few moments and talk it over with God helps. Remember also that not everything is wrong. Most things are still right. Think on the things which are still right. Remember that God is still the same God, still present, willing, and wanting to help. We should not merely accept frustrations. No, we should attack them and put them on the defensive. We must not let them control us. We must always be in control of them. By doing this, we keep from letting our frustrations frustrate us. Frustrations can be frustrated. We're told that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Take Him up on that, and He'll help you frustrate even the most frustrating frustrations. In the Old Testament book, Hosea, we read, "I will make the dale of trouble the door of hope." Can you imagine that? Turning trouble into hope. God is saying that He can actually frustrate frustrations. Let us not give up when faced with frustrations. Let us do with them what it was intended that we do with them. Make them constructive, useful situations. Keep in mind that we can, with the help of God, turn trouble into hope and frustrations into fruit.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Yeah, folks, we have to remember that this president gave us extraordinary judicial appointments. And those will go on for a decade, two, three, maybe in some cases four decades. He gave us the most successful economy in my lifetime. His economy rivals and I think exceeds the economy that Ronald Reagan gave us. He gave us energy independence for the first time in our history. We are no longer dependent upon oil from the Middle East. He pushed back against Iran and China. He defeated ISIS. He ended the isolation of Israel as a result of these peace deals that he negotiated with some of these surrounding countries who stepped away from their fellow radical Muslim countries and entered into peace arrangements with Israel. He made Jerusalem the capital. He acknowledged it. God made it the capital, but he acknowledged that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And look, you could go on and on with this. The lowest black unemployment rate, the lowest Hispanic unemployment rate, one of the lowest unemployment rates for women, I think, since the 1980s. And on it goes. A stock market that's broken record after record after record after record. Got the IRS off the backs of churches. So, of course, some pastors still wouldn't step up and utilize that assurance that President Trump gave them that they can say whatever they need to say in the pulpit. But here again, this man just stood strong and accomplished so much. And I am simply not going to beat him down because people think that he made a mistake or that he should have said something different. And look, you can make that argument, and I'm not discounting that. But he didn't order anybody to go storm the Capitol. I mean, you can't say that he said, yes, go up there and take it back. Go up there and crash through the door. He didn't say it. He just said, go to the Capitol. And then people took it upon themselves to go beyond that. And apparently a lot of those people who did that stuff weren't Trump supporters in the first place. So the number is 888-589-8840. Just trying to keep all of this in perspective at a time when people are abandoning the man left and right. 888-589-8840. Okay, let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Kathleen in Texas. Kathleen, welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. It's my first time calling you.
Well, I'm glad you called.
Thank you. And I don't get to listen to you all the time, so if you already addressed my question, I apologize. But I am concerned about Christian radio stations now with the media taking over. Do you think that you all are going to be like banned and, you know, like music stations, talk stations, TV stations? Do you think that that's, we're headed in that direction as well?
Well, Kathleen, I think we've already been targeted, and I think that targeting is likely to get worse under this administration. You have to remember that the Southern Poverty Law Center labeled us a hate group. And of course, there's not a hateful bone in any of our bodies. I mean, we love people, but we're Bible-believing Christians, and they think that's the equivalent of being hateful. So what are you going to say other than they're terribly wrong, and if they don't straighten out here, they're going to ultimately get their comeuppance in eternity. Remember this, too. I'm amazed by this. The Southern Poverty Law Group is, those folks really ought to be, they ought to be investigated and perhaps tried for extorting violence. Because remember, they labeled the Family Research Council as a hate group, and some guy went into the Family Research Council with the intent of killing everybody in the building, except for a brave security guard on the first floor who thought something wasn't right. He went in there with Chick-fil-A sandwiches under the guise he was going to distribute the Chick-fil-A sandwiches to all the staff as a supporter, when in fact he went in there to kill everybody. And of course, he learned that FRC is a hate group from the Southern Poverty Law Center. So are we going to be targeted, Kathleen? Really, we already are. But we are ready. We are ready in prayer. We are ready in the support of our listeners. And we're ready to stand with each other. Some of the most wonderful people I've ever met work in this network, and it's got great leadership with Tim Wildman and the family. If they try that, bring it on, because we are equal to the task by the grace of Almighty God. But yeah, I don't take anything for granted, Kathleen, and I'm sure that Tim and Jim and the team don't either. So listen, everybody, you know what that is? That's a call. Pray for us. Okay. Pray for us. Let's go to Billy in Illinois. Billy, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You know, I could be doing better, but you know, I'm still breathing and living and still following God's path. So I say I'm still living in paradise.
Okay, but, good. That's the attitude, Billy. Right. 'Cause listen, that's what we're going to make America into at some point. We're going to get there, so keep it up.
At some point, as long as we keep our heads up, right?
That's right. That's right.
Well, Bishop, I want to tell you, I've been listening to you guys for years and years, and, I mean, radio's always on you guys. My wife and I listen to you. I mean, we love you. I mean, you're just inspirational beyond belief, and I tell you, at the end of your show, every day, I get the chills up my back. It says, because we are on God's side, we cannot be defeated, you know? Amen. It's like, it sends chills up my back every day. You're just inspirational. Okay, so real quick.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, so my question to you, sir, is, all right, after Wednesday's fiasco, I have to say, so what's our recourse now? What is the American Christian's recourse going into this future? I mean, Biden now has the whole government underneath him, or should I say Kamala has the whole government underneath him.
Yeah.
In, what, about 6 months, so less than a year, they're going to have the Supreme Court stacked to their favor. So, I mean, without the government on our side, the Christians are now going to be persecuted. And it's like you were just saying a little bit before, even our radio stations are being targeted as hate groups. I mean, this is mirroring Germany in the 30s. Instead of the Jews being persecuted, now it's going to be the Christians. How long do we stand back and wait until we do something to get it back to right? That's what I want to know. I mean,
well,
I'm all about love and I'm all about peace and I'm going to keep my faith until my dying day. I mean, you can't take my faith from me, but you can take everything else from me. But how much longer do I go saying, you know, it's okay, just keep taking? I'm tired of people taking from me.
All right, Billy, I've got it. Listen, thank you so much for the call, and thanks for the encouraging words. Look, I would say three things. Number one, obviously, we have to continue in prayer. I really believe that God is in the prayer-answering business, and Jesus said in Luke 18, he said, "Will he not answer you speedily, though he bears long with them?" And so, you know, it to me, the meaning of that is, it may seem like it's taking a long time, and then suddenly, boom, there God is, moving in the dramatic way that you've always expected him to, according to his own perfect timing. And I believe that that's coming. I really do believe that that's coming. So our job is to be faithful until he comes and to keep praying. Jesus said in that parable, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Don't quit. Don't faint. Don't give up. Second thing is, we got to get our election situation squared away. And I think that can happen in state legislatures across the country where Republicans and conservatives are in control. I think we've got to end this mail-in balloting stuff, except for people who are infirm or handicapped or simply can't get out. I think we've got to introduce voter ID laws that require that people show a voter ID. And this stuff that's racial discrimination is one of the most preposterous and condescending things of all the things I've heard the left say. I mean, that one takes the cake. You can't do anything without a license or an ID, but suddenly you shouldn't need one to vote because that's discrimination. Give me a break. And then the third thing I'd say is, look, my organization is committed to, you know, our mission is to bring people together across racial and cultural lines. And we are committed to going into these precincts. We're going to be working with some Hispanic folks, some Asian folks, going into these precincts where the Democrats have been selling the lie for years. Oh, my goodness, I forgot it again. The Democrats have been selling the lie for years that, you know, America's hopelessly racist, hopelessly white supremacist, hopelessly all white people are beneficiaries of white privilege, all people of color are their victims. And frankly, conservatives haven't answered that. And I'm dedicating the rest of my life to making sure that that gets answered. Because I think we've got good people, pro-life people, pro-family people in these groups who are convinced to vote for these Marxists because they say, if you vote for us because they hate you, they're racist. It's a lie. And the lie's got to be exposed. Back in a moment.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
A prayer. Lord God, thank you for using American Family Radio to share your truth and love in this increasingly tumultuous time. Please don't let our love grow cold as we see wickedness increasing. Help us stand firm for you even to the end. Help us to preach the gospel of your kingdom to the whole world as a testimony. Help us to make the most of this platform you have given us to promote your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female,
If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
My daughter's boyfriend and my son were at the same concert, and my daughter's boyfriend just got to go with some friends but was in the VIP area.
Here's Kathy Lipp on Focus on the Family Minute.
But Jeremy was just there as a fan. And so after the concert, when my daughter's boyfriend found out how much Jeremy loved this band, he had a signed poster for him. And he said, you know what? I would enjoy this. You would love it. Mm. And gave it to Jeremy. And I love that it's such an illustration of how sometimes things pass through our hands. They're not supposed to stay in our hands. Yeah. They're supposed to go to the right person. So there's a lot of stuff in your house right now that needs to get to the right person. And I think we can trust God when we take things to a donation center, or when we take them to a rummage sale, or we put them out for a garage sale. We can trust God that those things can get into the right hands.
More from Kathy Lipp at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Let's get right back to your calls. Let's go to George in Missouri. You've been very patient. George, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for what you're doing, Bishop.
Thank you.
I'd like to say thank you to President Trump. I think you've been doing a great job. You should have got more credit than what you're doing. We know out here that you got played by all the haters. And let's start our own tech company. Let's start our own TV company. And the party thing would be the Freedom Constitutional Party. And because what wasn't there only 12 senators that stood up for President Trump? So that means there was zero Democrats. And then the rest of the Republicans didn't stick up for him. So why not start our own Freedom Constitutional Party? George,
that's food for thought. And I appreciate you calling and sharing those things. We need to do all of that. And I would just add, you know, we have a lot of very, very wealthy Christians out there, and they're going to have to decide that they're not going to let George Soros and Tom Steyer and Michael Bloomberg and Warren Buffett and his son and Bill Gates Mark Zuckerberg, they're not going to let these people use their enormous wealth to skew this country in a socialist direction. Of course, they're idiots to do it anyway, but they don't have the sense God gave a gnat. They're good business people. They're good at whatever the particular endeavor is that they do. I mean, Warren Buffett's a great investment, but in terms of the wisdom of life, just as dumb as a rock. You just have to say it, folks. They're just as dumb as a rock. They don't have a clue. And the reason, of course, is when you don't know God, you just go stupid. Thanks for the call, George. Thanks for your patience. Let's get to Bob in Maine. Bob, welcome.
Hey, well, if I'm enjoying your show here. It looks like, I hate to be a boo bird, but right now, evil is winning. I agree with everything. I have a comment and a question. I'll try to be brief.
Okay.
But as Christians, I think we better start getting the mindset to learn how to suffer. Remember what Hitler did. Mandatory gun registration. Then he went around and collected the guns, and the rest is history. Listen, America doesn't deserve God's gift to us, President Donald John Trump. At least there's a certain portion of America that does not deserve God's gift to us, Donald John Trump. He was a gift. He is a gift. it might be our last chance. It looks to me that I'm a news hawk, and I've been studying this. This could very well be our last chance as Christians. We better get a mindset to learn how to suffer. Christ said they did it to me. Don't think they're not going to do it to you. And there, if you know the book of Revelation, it's coming. We just don't know when. But it looks, if he doesn't come soon, it looks like he's missing a really good opportunity. I got a question. I keep hearing this that O'Biden said that he was going to pack the White House with Muslims. Have you heard that?
I have not heard that he was going to pack the White House with Muslims, no.
I think you can rest assured.
I mean, given Obama's deep connection to the Muslim community and the fact that he is deeply connected to Obama, you can rest assured there'll be lots of Muslims in the White House because they were under Obama. So, I mean, and look, if they're American citizens, God bless them. They have a right to serve. The only thing I'd say is what they don't have a right to do is to try to impose Sharia law on us. And, you know, they can carry out Biden's crazy policies as long as they're within the Constitution and within the law. But what they can't do is try to change the American legal system to accommodate a foreign theocratic system of Sharia law. And I think there, no doubt, there are some who believe that that's that Sharia law is superior to the Constitution. And it simply is not in the United States of America. So I haven't heard it. Bob, and I hope it does not come to pass. I hope some of the better moments I hear Biden expressing himself about our country, I hope that that side of him wins out. Well, look, I just hope we have a revival and an awakening in America. And this is, look, and I got to let you go, Bob, and take some of these other calls. But look, here's the thing that I always come back to. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So I'm just, and we are in Romans chapter 8, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So therein lies my hope for ultimate victory. I go back to George Washington. He lost more battles than he won. He lost more than he won, but he won the most important battle, the Battle of Yorktown, because that's when the British finally realized, you know what? We're simply not going to win this thing, although all along it seemed quite clear to them that they would. Thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate it. Let's go to John in Mississippi. John, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate everything you do. I know you do a lot of hard work. To echo the man's, you know, call a couple before, I agree with everything, you know, that you said. I'm an eternal optimist and hope and pray for revival, but just trying to be realistic and everything with what's going on. They've been planning this since the 60s. They have all the pieces in place, and even after we tried the recommendations that you said, the three things and all, like, we know not to give up hope, but where do we draw the line of hey, now it's time to fight? And I know that fight could be in different ways, but where does the Bible say we draw the line to a physical fight? And then what's your opinion on it as well?
Yeah. Well, I've been asked that question before, John. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Supreme Court case on pornography where they said, I might not be able to define it, but I know it when I see it. And I don't see it. I don't see us at a point where violence is our answer. I think that we've still got constitutional mechanisms in place to save our republic. And the thing I'm going to be looking for is the three things we talked about. I mean, obviously staying diligent in prayer, getting our election system in place, because I really believe a lot of cheating went on, but it was made possible by the changes in rules, back to rule that allow us to be assured that only American citizens are voting and that the voting is being done with proper procedure and with integrity. And then if we begin to do something else, that see the left, you said they've been working at this since the 60s, and you are so right. They've got the universities and colleges. They've got the corporate world. They've got the media. They've got all the institutions. They've got the entertainment world. They've got all the institutions of cultural influence under their control. That's why this publisher has said that they're not going to publish Josh Hawley's book, because you got leftists in control of that too. I mean, his book is on big tech. What's that got to do with this? It has nothing to do with electoral integrity. It has nothing to do with what happened on Wednesday, but they're going to punish him because that's who runs that institution. So we have got to do one thing that I think could be the linchpin in all of this. We have got to answer. We've got to counter this racial demagoguery, this narrative that they have plied minority voters with and told, scared the daylights out of them, told them that the country is racist and it's out to get them, and they've got to vote for these Marxists in order to save themselves. And I'm going to be focusing a lot on all three of these, but a lot on that, because I know there are good people out there. They're pro-life, they're pro-family, but they're voting for these Democrats because they really believe that the Republicans and the conservatives are racist, because that's what the Democrats want them to believe. Joe Biden, he's got to bring up Black Lives Matter, an unrelated thing, but he's got to bring that up just once again to keep stoking that racial fire. Oh, the police were out there for Black Lives Matter, and if it had been Black Lives Matter at the Capitol, it would have been different. I mean, what a demagogue. What a terrible waste of humanity to do that to us. But this is what they play, because the game is power. And it doesn't matter what you have to say. It doesn't matter who you have to say it to. It doesn't matter how you manipulate, divide, deceive, connive. As long as it lands you in the seat of power, that is all that matters. And folks, that is Karl Marx. And that's what the Democrat Party has become, if they were ever anything different. Okay, let's see. Let's keep going here. Let's go to Mary in Texas. Mary, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to make a comment on the gender rules policy.
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution is our law. It's Trump's Pelosi rule over this gender speech. I was thinking that what our representatives and anybody in Washington, in the Capitol, what they need to do is get on the law and make some lapel buttons. I am a son. I am a husband. I am a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a daughter. I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. And to me, this is the House of Representatives of the people. What right does she tell you? You can't open your mouth and call somebody, you know,
none.
How are you doing, son?
None. It's ridiculous, Mary. She would have you wearing a button that says, "I am a birthing person."
Well, that'll work.
That's right.
It's free speech.
Right.
In the 90s, yeah. they did away in my son's third grade Christmas program. They would not allow the children to sing any song that related to a Christian carol.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
like they sung Rudolph, they sung Frosty. Well, guess what? They taught the kids. They turned the lights off. The kids had white gloves on, and they did Silent Night in sign language. Well, the audience stood up
wow.
and sung the song.
Wow. Mary, I've got to go. But see, that's, and I forgot to mention, right, they've got the public schools. And it's going to require a shift in the power equation in order for us to begin to take over these institutions. You know, a president today, and President Trump did some of this, president today has got to be educator in chief. Because you really got to re-educate and deprogram a lot of the American people who've been caught up in this propaganda. Well, folks, that's going to do it. I hope you go to church this Sunday and hope you have a wonderful time, that your church is open. If you're in my area, come see me, 943 Canal Drive. And in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.